Hi, welcome to the Theme Park Trader Podcast with your hosts, Ryan and Dan.
Hello.
This week we're going to be talking about lots of different news stories, including The Shining coming to Halloween Horror Nights 27. Satuli Canteen at Pandora, the World of Avatar, has a breakfast menu. We're going to talk through that. We've got new details on a nighttime show at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter at Hollywood. A brand new King Kong animatronic in Tunisia, which is an interesting thing to talk about. We've got details on attractions that are looking likely to be closed during Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. And there's a few more news stories in there as well, including a bit of news on the return of Fantasmic in Disneyland. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
So, Dan, how's your week been? All good?
Yeah, good. Pretty good.
I know something for a fact this week. Many listeners last week have been talking about, you know, your lack of planning. and how, you know, even Karen, when she was on the show last week.
She was shocked.
You need to get on this now.
Yeah.
And you have been, right? You have been booking your fast passes this week.
I sorted myself out, you know, organised myself. I've got a relative plan. I've got some fast passes booked. The disappointing thing is I haven't got Flight of Passage booked. They are all gone.
That doesn't surprise me. I reckon everyone staying at a Disney resort has already got those.
Yeah, I reckon so. Like within this, because they get it at the 60-day, don't they? Whereas I only get it at the 30-day.
Yeah.
There's loads of River Journey. Absolutely loads of them. Everyone must be going for the Flight of Passage.
Yeah, because you can only choose one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that the River Journeys aren't, like, a lot of them aren't gone as well, considering you think. Surely not everyone who's pre-booked, everyone on the staying at Disney Resort has managed to get a spot on the Flight of Passage.
No, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. I mean, it's definitely the attraction that I will be getting a fast pass for if I can.
Yeah, yeah, I'll definitely, by the sounds of it, I think I'm going to need to get there for rope drop.
Yeah.
To be able to, you know, get a reasonable wait time on it.
Yeah, that would be my advice for sure.
Yeah, which is what we're going to try and do. We're planning on, there's only, it's only the Monday, each Monday that we're there, that they've got extra magic hours in the morning.
Yep.
So we'll just try on one of the other days.
Yeah, as long as you avoid that Monday.
Yeah, and the weekends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should be okay. And then we were also chatting about it, kind of, I guess, last weekend after we recorded the podcast. We were chatting about potentially going to Florida next year as well. I mean,
yeah.
Mm. Which would be the first official joint theme park trader trip.
It would. Because obviously we went to Disneyland Paris before, but did we have the site then?
I don't think we did.
I don't think so.
If we did, it was very, very young.
Early stages, isn't it? It would have been.
Yeah, I think I'm not even sure we had a logo at that stage, all that kind of thing.
Probably not. Was it 2015 or was it earlier?
I think it was 2015, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so a good couple of years ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure we did. So, and certainly if we do go next year, we'll be taking pictures of everything and recording stuff, Facebook Live, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, so, all that stuff.
Yeah, and maybe you'll finally get the privileges of staying on Disney property as well.
maybe one day. But no, that'd be good. That would be good.
Nice, yeah. So, I mean, I've had a fairly busy week, but I'm getting ready to go to Belgium on Monday for a couple of days, which should be interesting.
I wasn't sure when you were going to that.
Yeah, off to Brussels for a couple of days for work.
Nice.
So that should be an interesting trip.
You've just come back from Manchester?
Yeah, just been to Manchester, then I'm off to Brussels, and then I'm off to Norway for work in a couple of weeks.
A bit of a globetrotter, eh?
So, yeah, I know. Why can't we have any clients in Orlando? What's going on?
You need to change this, Ryan. You need to sort it out.
To be fair, though, and this is Disney-related, I've always wanted to go to Norway since I rode Maelstrom when I was a kid.
Okay.
And
you sure it's not because of Frozen?
No, it's not because of Frozen, though.
No. Are you sure?
Just let it go, Dan. All right?
Oh!
This is like, I know this is the first time in forever since we've spoken about Frozen, but you need to let it go.
Oh, you know. Oh, dear.
I can't resist those puns.
They're too good.
So yeah, I'm going to Oslo. It'd be interesting to see what Norway is actually like compared to Maelstrom. I'm assuming I won't encounter any like Vikings or trolls or anything like that.
Yeah, don't know. Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah, don't rule it out.
Don't rule it out, exactly, yeah. So, in our first bit of news this week, we're going to talk about Halloween Horror Nights. And I think it's true to say that neither of us have been to this event.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go, and it's looking very likely that this year will be my first, and maybe last, depending on whether I have a heart attack or not, Halloween Horror Nights. So I'm going to be doing it this year, I think.
Yeah.
90% sure at this stage. And they've already announced American Horror Story, and they've also just announced The Shining. So the 1980 classic horror movie, The Shining, with Jack Nicholson, is going to be getting a maze/house this year. And we don't know too much about it yet, but it's going to feature the Overlook Hotel, which is obviously from the book, from the movie. And it's going to you're going to enter Jack Torrance's descent into insanity. They're putting guests at the forefront of the house, making them feeling like they actually have the Shining, with things going on that are there to kind of trick the mind, scare you. You kind of see something, you look around again, and it's not there, that kind of thing.
Nice.
Yeah, it sounds intriguing. I'd be surprised if we didn't see the twins pop up at some point, or blood like rushing through some corridor at some point, although how they would do that effect I have no idea. But I know they invest a lot of money and a lot of time into these houses, so that they're actually true kind of replicas of the film.
So yeah, I certainly wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. They've got the video, haven't they? And they've got the twins all over the video, haven't they? So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they made an appearance.
Yeah, I think they have to. I wonder if we're going to see Daddy on his red tricycle as well, riding through the corridors.
And there's got to be somebody hacking through a door with an axe.
Here's Johnny. Yeah, I'd be very surprised if that wasn't in it, because
yeah,
I think that is one of, if not the most iconic horror movie moment of all time.
Definitely, yeah. I mean,
that's up there with the pea soup in The Exorcist, I think.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it's right up there. Or the bath scene from Nightmare on Elm Street. That's pretty good.
I don't think I've seen that.
You haven't seen The Shining either.
No, that is true.
Which is shocking. You need to do some horror research, I think.
But obviously, yeah, I know the iconic scenes from The Shining, just because they are so iconic, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, it's a great film. I mean, it's nothing like the book. The book is a lot better than the film. I'm not saying the film is bad, but it is very different from the book. I think in the book, you feel very sorry for Jack Torrance in his character and what happens to him. Whereas in the film, you're kind of glad what over time what happens to him. He comes across as a bit of an ass. and in a book, you can tell that this you know, thing's taking him over. He really is struggling, and I think in the end, he actually kills himself to try and save his family.
Spoiler alert!
Well, it's, if you've not read The Shining, and it's like, come on,
2017.
Yeah, I mean, God knows
it's
when
been
that book
37 years.
Yeah, and that was the
since the film,
the book was before that. The film does spoilers. The film does not have that ending, so I didn't spoil the film.
Oh, okay. It's interesting the film has a different ending to the book.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I preferred the book.
Right.
The book's ending felt much, much better, and I like the character a lot more in the book. Though Jack Nicholson is phenomenal in that movie, it's safe to say. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this. You know, when I do walk around it, or, you know, crawl around it very slowly, or sitting in a corner crying.
Where's Ryan gone? Oh, there he is. He's in the corner.
He's gone to the loo again. I'm sorry, I need more beer.
Get you one of those adult diapers.
I think that's going to be necessary, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're going with Stu, right?
Yeah, so yeah, I'm going,
Stu and Laura.
I'm going with Stu and Laura, who they were with us. Well, Stu was with us in Disneyland Paris, and he really wants to do it. So they're kind of forcing us to do it, which is good because I've always wanted to do it. I've just chickened out.
Yeah, because you probably wouldn't have done it this year, I'm guessing, if they hadn't been there.
No, I definitely wouldn't have done it. And if we go next year, I don't think we probably would have done it.
No, no, I don't think so.
So
neither of us have the guts on our own to do that.
No, I don't. I think you're right. I've had some interesting advice because obviously this is going to be my first time to Halloween Horror Nights. I've had some great advice from Bill, who is at Mr. Coaster One, and also Kevin, who is at the Florida Foxes with, so it's FOXS without the E. So Bill said to me, if you do end up going, get the express pass. He said there will be at least half the houses with 45 to 90 minute waits.
Wow.
If you get the express pass, we hit everyone with less than 10 minutes and still had plenty of time. Kevin says with express, you can see all 9 houses, eat at the Scare Actor Dining. I don't want to do that, Kevin. see Bill and Ted's show and ride all the open rides in one night. So I think that's good advice. Certainly something I'm going to consider. I think that could be worth doing. At least I can get in and out. Because if I'm sitting in a queue for 45 to 90 minutes, like absolutely pooping myself, it's not going to help. Whereas if I just
walk
adult
diaper is going to be full pretty fast.
Exactly. If I'm just walking in, I think I'll feel much better.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. It's the same with the ride that you've done before, isn't it?
Yeah.
You stand in a queue for 45 minutes or an hour, just crapping yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I probably will end up buying Express Pass. I know a few weeks ago we said don't waste your money on them. But I think for Halloween Horror Nights, if you want to do all of those houses in one night, which we do want to do, we're not going to be paying to go and see it twice.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people do that, and I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but I don't think I'll be able to take it twice in one trip.
I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? You either... I don't know. I can't remember how much the Halloween Horror Nights are, but obviously... You either pay twice to go for 2 days, or you pay for 1 day plus fast pass and get it all done in one night. So
yeah,
it's probably a similar price, really.
I know a few people like that Florida guy. He goes quite a few times when he's over there.
Right.
But for us, it's more of a Disney holiday than it is a Universal holiday. So we will do, as I said before, we are doing 3 days at Universal, but the rest of those 14 days are all in Disney. So you know. It might be that we absolutely love Halloween Horror Nights and we do want to do it again. And on one of our other free nights, we might go back. But
yeah.
I think for now, for our first time, we may express pass it. We'll try and do as much as we can. I'll try and drink probably about 3 pints between every house just to help settle my nerves. I'll be on YouTube the next day, like decking one of the scare actors.
Attacking Johnny with an axe.
Yeah, I'll take his axe away from him and start running after him. I'll show you this, Johnny! Universal will be like, excellent, you're hired!
Yeah, you'll be in there next year and you'll be stuck there for years to come.
If it gets me working in Orlando, I'll take it.
That's true.
So yeah, those are the only houses that have been announced so far. We've got The Shining, American Horror Story, and I think Halloween was also mentioned as well. So, but we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. So we've got plenty of time.
Yeah.
Before October.
Exactly. Although I think it is starting in September this year.
Right. Okay. So, no, that makes sense.
As Halloween does in America.
Of course. Or yeah.
August.
Unless you're in Karen's house where it starts in August.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next story is to do with Pandora. I think like every week we've been talking about Pandora. And so Thule Canteen is one of the quick/counter service locations in the new area of the park. And they've just kind of announced their breakfast offering. Obviously people are talking about it. The annual pass holder previews have been happening. The blog meetup happened, I think, last week. People are going there for breakfast, trying it out. And Disney released some of the breakfast offerings. And I, for one, think they sound pretty awesome. I don't know if you agree, Dan, because you're the fussy one out of the two. I'll tell you what, if we do go next year, it's going to be bloody difficult trying to find food that you like.
we were fine in Paris.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's it. it's a bit of a mixture, isn't it? Similar to, well, pretty much the whole Satouli canteen menu, really, isn't it?
It is.
It's a bit alternative.
It is, but I really like that because I think, I'm not saying that everything in Disney World for breakfast is the same, because it's not. I think there's loads of variation in Disney World, but I think even this is very different to what you'd find elsewhere. So I'll read out some of the options. You've got a vegetable goat cheese frittata with beef, a pork shoulder potato hash with chorizo sausage, steamed pods are there for breakfast. They're back for breakfast. Scrambled egg, bacon, spinach, and pickled vegetables are in that. Tropical forest fruits with yogurt, muesli, and vanilla maple syrup. This one I'm very interested in trying. Steel-cut oats with whiskey raisins.
Intriguing. So that Why does it matter that they're steel-cut?
Well, I don't know. but that they, you know, the conversation's going on Twitter this week. They are actually whiskey-soaked raisins.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm gonna probably try some of those because, you know, on holiday, doesn't matter what time you start drinking.
Maybe not one for the kids though.
No, that isn't. But funny enough, that one doesn't appear on the kids menu.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wonder if that has an age rating.
Yeah.
You must be 21 to order the steel cut oats.
I've always found that funny about, like, I know it's slightly aside here, like in restaurants where you get things in white wine sauce. I'm not saying you're going to get drunk on a white wine sauce, but what I am saying is sometimes they do actually put quite a bit of booze into some of those dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And in theory, like, a kid could order that.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't, because there isn't any age rating on it. I just think it's quite funny. And then on top of the oats with whiskey raisins, you've got cinnamon swirl French toast with Bluesberry cheesecake dollop and passion fruit anglaise. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
To be honest, I would order everything on that menu, maybe apart from the tropical forest fruits of yogurt muesli, just because that's something I could probably put together myself quite easily.
Very true.
Everything
yogurt
else.
Muesli. Okay.
Everything yeah, else, I think, sounds pretty cool.
I'm intrigued by to see the steam pods again. I wonder if everything in that steam pod is going to be inside the steam pod.
Yeah, or whether it's just the pickled vegetables inside.
Yeah, it could be. But I'd be intrigued to see if they can get scrambled egg, bacon, spinach, and pickled vegetables all within a steamed pod.
I'd be surprised if that was the case.
Depends how big the pod is.
Yeah, it's just come out and it's like it's a massive pod.
Yeah.
You poke a fork into it and it just explodes with bacon. Yeah. Hot bacon and eggs just goes everywhere.
Just in your face. Oh, my eyes.
So, yeah, I really think I like the sound of this menu. And I definitely want to get there for breakfast and try some of these out, which I didn't originally have in my plan. So I'm going to have to see how I can fit this in.
Obviously, you're going to have to go on Flight of Passage first.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure people...
You've got to get that queue. Avoid that queue.
Oh, I see. Yeah, from a queuing perspective. I thought you meant from a throwing up perspective.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Going on Flight of Passage first, then get breakfast.
Yeah.
Especially if you get there for Extra Magic.
Exactly, that'd be fine.
Park, Extra Magic, the park opens at 7 a.m.
Yeah, it does when you're out there. I don't think it does when I'll be out there.
Okay, so maybe that's true. It'd probably be dark, wouldn't it?
Well, it's not that. I think it's more a case of they know it's going to be busy because you're literally going like two, 3 weeks after it's open.
Right. Yeah.
So I think they start to calm it down in like August. Well, September, October, I think.
Oh, okay. Give it a few months.
Yeah.
Bed in.
So yeah, if you go to the site, there's a really good looking picture of the. Nobody's ever said that about a goat cheese frittata with beef before, but I'm saying it. And I think it looks good.
I don't think anyone's really said vegetable goat cheese frittata with beef in a sentence before, really, before now.
No, probably not. But, you know, if that's what the Na'vi eat, you know, who are we to say, you know? It's up to them, Dan. We don't want to be racist.
Who are we to judge?
We don't want to be racist to the Na'vi. So, yeah, moving on to Hollywood now and Universal Studios. And they released details earlier this last week about the new nighttime show that we were talking about a few weeks ago now, and it's going to be a light projection experience on Hogwarts Castle that will include all four houses. So for anyone that hasn't heard of or seen Harry Potter, shame on you. They are Gryffindor, Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff and Slytherin. I'm proud to admit that I am a Hufflepuff, for anyone wanting to know.
Everyone seems to be a Hufflepuff. Is that like,
well, when I
got, anyone on Twitter is a Hufflepuff.
When I got put into the Hufflepuff house, let's just say that it wasn't a good thing at the time. Everyone, you know, everyone ripped into Hufflepuffs and said that they were the worst house. Now they seem to become, now they're like the hipster house of Harry Potter's, so I'm pretty happy with that. But at the time when I got sorted into Hufflepuff, I was a little bit disappointed, shall we say.
Just imagine you like raging.
I was, and you know, I've actually, I don't think I'm actually allowed to say which brand I've worked with, but I have worked with a brand of the Harry Potter franchise in the past. And I went into the meeting, bearing in mind this is a, you know, like an important meeting, you know, in my kind of industry, everyone wears shirts and trousers and it's all very boring and dull. Certainly when you go to a meeting, when I'm at the office, I'm wearing t-shirt and shorts. But I went into the meeting in my Ravenclaw hoodie.
And nice.
Because they had these offices, there were some amazing pictures of, like, hand-painted pictures of Dobby, all that kind of thing. It was really cool. And I went into the meeting in my Ravenclaw hoodie, and they were like, oh, are you in Ravenclaw? And I was like, no, I'm a Hufflepuff. And then, like, two people in the room were like, we are too! And I was like, yes! We're, like, high-fiving each other before we sat down.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, I'm not saying that that's what won us the business, but I'm pretty sure it contributed massively.
It helped, probably.
You've always got to, you've always got to show off your fan base, I think, in those kind of things. I always take my Mickey Mouse backpack to even the most important meeting that I go to.
Just in case.
Well, I just think, you know, it's, everyone comes in with boring bags, boring shirts and things like that, and it's just like, guys, just show off a bit of your personality.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Did they not question why you were wearing a Ravenclaw hoodie?
They did, and I said I got it from Universal in Orlando, and I looked at the Hufflepuff one, and it just looked awful. And and it does, it really does. And so does the Gryffindor. I don't like the Gryffindor one either. So I've got the Ravenclaw and I've got the Slytherin one because I think I look slightly better in blue and green than I do red or I think I can't even remember
yellow.
Yellow, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I got those two.
You can't remember your house colours, Ryan.
Shame on me.
Call yourself a Hufflepuff. You haven't got the hoodie. You can't remember the colours.
I don't call myself a Hufflepuff. They call me a Hufflepuff. So yeah, back to the show after that slight Harry Potter detour, but relevant, I think.
Of course.
So yeah, they're going to have the show. It's going to be based on the four houses. The new show also has a name, and it's the. I mean, we complain when they make up fancy names, so this is just the opposite. It's the Nighttime Lights at Hogwarts Castle.
Simple.
No magic involved whatsoever.
Just the Nighttime Lights. I suppose it's really Disney, isn't it? They're best known for their bizarre names.
That's true. That is very true.
Universal are a little bit more tame.
Yeah, it does, you know, does what it says on the tin there, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Let's get Ron Seal in to do it.
This podcast is sponsored by
Ron Seal.
It's not, by the way, it's not. And no. if they approached us, we would say no.
Would we?
Well, yeah. Why would we want to be sponsored by them? If a relevant brand approached us, we'd take the money.
Come on, Ron Seal are working with Universal here, aren't they?
This show is sponsored to you by Ron Seal. Just like Hogwarts, lighter. Oh, I can't even get the bloody
name. Oh, God. Right. Give up, Ryan. Give up.
I'm giving up. So I think the photos look pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's two photos on the site if you want to come and check them out. They do look pretty awesome. I'm interested to see what this looks like. Unfortunately, at this stage, as we were chatting about it before the podcast, it's just in Hollywood and not at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in Orlando. But I think, depending on reactions here, we'll probably see it transfer across at some point.
Yeah, I was really disappointed when I first saw this post, and I was like, oh, Hollywood show at Hollywood at Universal Studios for Harry Potter, and I saw it was June 23rd, and then I realised it was Hollywood, or you told me it was Hollywood, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I've just realised now that actually June 23rd is the day I leave, so it's a good job.
Oh, it's fine.
It's a good job it's not, yeah, because otherwise
that... You'd be more disappointed.
Yeah, I leave at like, I don't know, 5, 6 o'clock or something.
Yeah, that's like me when I was at Universal and I found out the next day that I was leaving, Carly Rae Jepsen was playing.
It's not the same thing, Ryan.
You're right, Carly Rae Jepsen is much better than a Harry Potter show.
I wasn't going that way.
You know what? Since that podcast where we were chatting to Carly, I've just been continually ripped on by Donna and Carly for liking Carly Rae Jepsen.
Well, that's a good thing, Ryan. Maybe you'll learn your lesson.
Yeah. I won't. I'll be listening to her after this.
Oh, no.
So June the 23rd, the show kicks off, and it's going to be playing multiple times a night during its run over the summer. So next is an interesting one. I think it's the first time we've spoken about any kind of attraction in Tunisia.
It's not the place that you associate with theme parks.
It's not, but they've announced a bigger Kong animatronic for their new attraction over there.
It's apparently size does matter.
It apparently does. It's 42 feet tall. Apparently, it's going to be a centerpiece of a new attraction's spinning coaster. Most of the time, it will kind of move its head and watch the guests as they're kind of spinning around. It will kind of tilt its head and watch you. And then at the end, the animatronic will get up on its feet, because it will be on its knuckles for most of the ride. It will get up on its feet, stand full height, and kind of bang its chest in classic Kong style. Apparently, the roar is... And it will also roar, and I think it has the ability to breathe fire as well.
As any gorilla would do.
Yeah, exactly. It will let out a roar that can be heard from nearly a mile away, apparently. Yeah, so
that'd be fun for the locals.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, it breathes fire, but they also said that they based the gorilla, they based the look and feel of the gorilla on from studying gorillas in their natural environment.
What gorillas have they been looking at?
It's like, look, that one's breathing fire. No, it's actually just on fire.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's a photo of it on the site.
And it looks weird.
It may be bigger than the one at Skull Island in... Is it Skull Island? No, that's the name of the island, isn't it?
Yeah.
It may be bigger than the Kong ride in Universal, but I wouldn't necessarily say it was better.
No, it looks like photo. It looks like a kid's toy of a gorilla with poseable arms.
Yeah, it looks like... You know one of those prototype kids' toys they have?
Yeah.
It looks like that they'd made one at the factory, but instead of making it smaller... They've made it 42 feet tall.
And the picture's a bit weird, because we were saying just before the podcast, he's got his like head sliced off, and there's some sort of forklift sort of thing. It looks like they're lifting his brains out.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot
of weird stuff going on in this picture.
Compared to the Kong animatronic at Universal, which it looks insanely good, and I know you'll be checking it out soon, Dan.
Yeah.
It does look insanely good. This looks, as you said, more like a toy. That's not necessarily saying that it's not going to be incredible to look at and see it stand up and roar and deafen you as it does so, and breathe fire in your face.
As any gorilla will do.
As any gorilla does. But, yeah, it doesn't look that realistic.
No, at the minute, it does
now,
not.
Now maybe there's more work to be done on it, we don't know, because this clearly isn't finished yet. But... Yeah, it also doesn't look like it will be able to move that well.
No, it looks like it might be a bit rigid, because it looks like the mouth moves, like the jaw. It looks like it goes up and down. And if that does move up and down, then it might look a little bit cheesy, more so than it does.
Hello, my name is Ken Kahn. Please, don't mention.
Maybe they won't have the mouth moving quite so fast.
Not like but. That.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what it's like when it's in place and working.
Yeah, I'm going to have to follow up on this one to see what it actually looks like.
Definitely, yeah. We need a video.
Yeah, as soon as I see a video, I will definitely publish one, and we can either eat our words or have a good laugh about it.
I think I know which one I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, I think I know too. By all means, come to the site and leave us a comment on what you think it's going to end up like, but I have a feeling you'll agree with us. So, next story... is around Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party in Walt Disney World. And there's a very strong rumour at this stage that the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is actually going to be closed during the party's hours. Now, someone on Facebook has come in and said that this is a glitch in the system, or a potential glitch in the system, and I do hope this is the case, but because the also the news says that we're going to have Seven Dwarfs Mine Train closed... Big Thunder is also going to be part of that closure, and Jungle Cruise as well. Now, Jungle Cruise doesn't surprise me. It's dark. It's going to be more difficult to see the animatronics. Like, that's fine. Thunder Mountain and Seven Dwarfs is a big surprise, because both of those attractions, I would argue, are better at night.
Definitely, yeah.
So that it's a surprise to see that. I hope it is a glitch, because this came just after I booked my very expensive tickets to this event. And then I was quite disappointed to see that actually the two attractions that are quieter during those Halloween party hours that I really like going on at night are closed.
That's it. It's bizarre. They are two of the biggest rides, two of the busiest rides, aren't they?
Yeah, and Splash Mountain's obviously closed anyway for refurbishment.
Yeah.
So you've got all of the big, pretty much some of the biggest rides apart from Space, are shut. Obviously, Pirates will remain open, Space is open, Haunted is open. Those attractions will still remain open, but to not have the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Thunder Mountain open is a bit of a surprise. So unless they're planning to do something with those attractions specifically for Halloween, maybe there's some new candy experiences coming in or some new character meet and greets in the Halloween outfits, I don't know. But let's hope that if it is true, and that is the case, that Disney are doing something with those rides that means that they have to keep them closed.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So, you know, with that, I put a poll out there on Twitter, because people were talking about the party's expensive, it's not worth it, blah, 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 blah. So I said, okay, let's settle this. Is Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party too expensive? And 55% of people said, yes, it is too expensive. So it did win. It did get the majority vote there.
Just
about, yeah. People did think it was more expensive. I do think it's expensive. I think if you live in Orlando, it's probably worth doing every maybe 2 to 3 years. For me, because I only go once a year, if I'm lucky to go once a year, then, and I'm only there for 2 weeks, I know it's expensive, but I love the event. It's worth it because it's an expensive holiday anyway.
Yeah.
I kind of just have to do it. I kind of have to take it on the chin. It is very expensive. I think it cost me almost £170 for two tickets.
Right, okay.
So that's not cheap, you know, it's not cheap at all.
Yeah, for the one night as well, isn't it?
For one night, you know, that's almost two tickets to Magic Kingdom for the day.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, no. Maybe not anymore.
Maybe not quite.
But it is expensive, and I wouldn't say to everyone you should do it if you've been before, because it is pricey, but for me, it's my favourite event outside of the Food and Wine Festival, so it's a no-brainer. I get to, if anything, I'm just going to take a backpack and make sure that I get my £160 worth of candy.
Bring a suitcase.
Yeah, just take a suitcase in.
There you go.
Sir, what is in the suitcase? Well, nothing until I leave.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. I think if I was going at that time of year, I would definitely, seeing as I've never done it before, I would definitely spend the money to go on it.
Yeah.
Just see what it's like and that sort of thing. It'd be worth, and as you say, you know, it is an expensive holiday anyway, so sort of £170 for sort of the two of you for one day, is you can justify it, can't you?
I think you can. If you're coming from the UK, I think you can justify it. I do understand why people this year are saying they're not doing it, and I think the problem is it's kind of a catch-22. If the events didn't sell out this year, Disney might think about lowering the price next year. I can't think of a time where Disney have ever done that, and I can't think of a time where these events have not sold out. So I think, providing they keep selling out, they're probably going to put the prices up every year.
I'm assuming the price went up compared to last year, did it?
I think it was about, I want to say about $20 more this year.
Right, okay.
Which is quite a significant hike.
Yeah, is that for two of you?
Considering the pound does not come into it because I paid for it in dollars.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite a significant increase.
Definitely, yeah. Year on year.
Yeah. So, moving back to Animal Kingdom, and the mobile ordering of food is set to expand beyond Avatar, or Pandora, the world of Avatar, if you want to call it by its full name, this summer at Walt Disney World. So this is the ability we talked about a few weeks ago, where you can go on the My Disney Experience app, you can order your food currently from May the 27th from Satuli Canteen, and you can say, okay, here's my order, I'm paying for it now on my credit card or my debit card, and then when you get to Satuli Canteen, you say, I'm here. Then they'll say, cool, your order's ready, come pick it up, job done, there's no queuing, there's none of that faff, just grab your food and then sit down and get on with it, basically. They've announced that there's more restaurants coming to that in Animal Kingdom specifically. We've got Flame Tree Barbecue, which is one of my favourite counter service restaurants. You've got Pizza Safari, and you've got Restaurantosaurus as well. I've actually eaten at all of those locations. Flame Street Barbecue is incredible. If you've not been there, you need to go. It's such a good location. But yeah, it's interesting. I think it's a great idea, but they need to bring the dining plan into it. They have to bring those credits into play. Otherwise, for me, it's... Well, I'm never going to use it because I've got the dining plan, so...
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting that they've chosen to expand it before they've even tried it at Setuli Canteen.
Yeah.
Because you can imagine, obviously, like one of the things with these quick service places is... And the same with any like shopping mall sort of, you know, restaurants. Trying to find a seat after you've picked up your food.
Yeah.
And so if you've got people coming in and sitting down way before their food is actually ready, then is there going to be a problem with, like, not enough seating?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, in Disney's ideal situation, someone will walk in with their family. Just after they've walked in, they go, "We're here." And they go and sit down. And then probably, you know, it doesn't take long once you've ordered. It'll probably take 2 minutes. They'll say, "Your food's ready." There you go. In reality, yeah, what will happen is someone will come in, they'll sit down, they might have a little chat for 5 minutes, then they'll say, "We're here, we're ready to get our food." That's what will happen. It has the potential to clog up the restaurant for people that are actually waiting for their food and then trying to find seats.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that will happen, but there is the potential. Like, maybe it can work at Animal Kingdom, but I can't see it working at somewhere like Cosmic Rays in Magic, where... Even in October, we struggled to find a seat at lunchtime. I was looking... So Donna was in a queue for probably 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes waiting for food. And yeah, I just sat down at a table as she was coming out of that queue.
Oh, really?
And I was looking the entire time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They get super busy, these places, don't they? Especially around meal times.
Yeah.
Like, we often find that we'll eat sort of, like, outside peak times.
Yeah. Yeah, we do as well.
Just... because it's so much easier.
We usually do too. So I think the biggest thing, I think it's a great idea. If it works, fantastic, but I think it has to include the dining plan.
Yeah, and they're also dependent on people's it's interesting because they're also dependent on one Apple's notification, or, you know, Apple and Android's notification systems.
Yeah.
And like the people's like Wi-Fi signals,
yeah,
to be able to do this. Because otherwise you could just get, like, stuff stacking up in the kitchen. Nobody knows it's ready.
That's very true. That's very, very true. So,
yeah.
They're obviously confident that it's going to work.
Yeah, they must be. Otherwise, yeah, they wouldn't be rolling it out to 3 more restaurants.
Exactly. And if it's gonna do well in Animal, I think it will roll out to the other parks in due course.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it's interesting that they are trialling it, or not trialling it, but introducing it first at Animal with Pandora, isn't it? Like, if you're going to stress test it,
place to do, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's a good place to start. So, yeah, it's Flame Tree Barbecue, Pizza Safari, and Restaurantosaurus are the three to be trialled in that. And as I said, I actually went to Flame Tree for the first time 2 years ago, and I've always heard good things about it. I thought, oh, it's about time I gave it a go. And yeah, I loved it. The food there is so tasty. Really, really good food. Donna hated it.
Okay.
Not going to lie, she hated it. But she loves like barbecue chicken and stuff like that. But I think it was just not the right type of kind of barbecue sauce for her.
Right, okay.
I don't know why, she's a bit fussy. But I loved it. I would definitely go there. And I'm going back. I probably will go back there this year. And she's already said she'll go to a different quick service, like Pizza Safari or Restaurantosaurus or whatever.
Oh yeah. So plenty of choice.
Yeah, there's loads of choice. So in a final news piece this week, Disneyland's Fantasmic is returning this summer, and you know, it's been down for I think about over a year now because they need to kind of clear some of the land and everything for Star Wars Land. So it's been, the whole area has been down there by the Rivers of America. And it's entering its 25th year in Disneyland this year. And they've announced some pretty, I think, some pretty big changes to the show. So the music will remain. Mickey Mouse will still be the center point of the show, which is good to hear. The big thing they're doing is introducing new art projection technology in what they're calling mist screens. So... there's a picture on the site where they've got one confirmed scene involving Aladdin and Jasmine kind of projected onto like what they're calling a mist screen. And there's also rumours that we're going to be seeing new scenes from Pirates of the Caribbean, Tangled, and The Lion King as well.
Okay. And when they say mist screen, do they? Because obviously they project onto water at the moment in Walt Disney World.
Mm.
I don't know whether they do that in Disneyland because we haven't been there.
Well, I think they do, but this looks slightly different to that. If you look at the concept art, it almost looks like they're kind of projecting onto some kind of smoke screen.
Yeah, which, I mean, obviously they could do, but I'd be surprised if it's as detailed as what they're showing in the concept picture.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see this when it reopens later this summer. But it sounds cool. I mean, to have new scenes added in would be good. The new effects sound pretty awesome. I love Fantasmic. I've not seen the one at Disneyland. I will be going to see that next year? The year after next. And I am looking forward to it. No opening date yet, but it's expected to be kind of later this summer. So, yeah, I think it's going to be good.
Cool.
And then there's another poll that I was talking of The Lion King, I guess. Another poll that I put out there that I wanted to chat to you. So I said, this is on Twitter, I said, question, I know it's pants, but I haven't done it in about 10 years. Should I do Circle of Life at Epcot this year? So the choices were yes and no, what are you thinking? And no won by just a few percent. It was 53% compared to 47%. So it's actually a lot closer than I thought. I thought we were going to get a 90-10 split on the no. But I think people just want to see me suffer.
Maybe that's it. Maybe there's a bit of a... What, have you offended anyone recently?
Not that I know of. I mean, I probably offend people on a daily basis, but... Yeah, maybe I should do it. I know the no one, but I don't know. Maybe I should give it another go. Donna's actually never done it.
I'm sure I have done it, but I can't remember it.
I just remember the last time I did it, it was just so bad.
Yeah, I'm just reading about a 20-minute widescreen film about conservation with color commentary from the stars of Walt Disney's Lion King.
Yeah, I think there's something really ironic about that show from memory, because they're talking about a new hotel or a new resort that's being built on a nature reserve or something like that.
Right.
They're talking about how we should, you know, how you should conserve the planet, all that kind of thing. Bearing in mind that most of Walt Disney World is situated on natural area of Orlando that was pretty much, what, just like marshland or whatever it was before. I don't think that's the actual term for it, so I do apologise.
Swampland?
Maybe that's it.
Maybe.
It was. Yeah, but, you know, it's very similar to what Walt Disney World actually did back in the 60s and 70s when they were planning and buying up all that land and things like that. But yeah, I think I will go and check it out again if I can force Donna to. The problem I've got is that every year since we started going together, I said, let's not bother with that, it's terrible, don't bother. So now if I say this year, let's do it, she's like, no, I don't want to do it because you say it's terrible.
you've implanted that
the thought is there.
What I'm trying to say. Yes, yeah, that's the word.
So,
yeah. Although, it's currently closed for refurbishment by the looks of it. And it reopens on the 27th of May.
There you go, just in time for your trip.
So, yeah, it could be completely changed. You never know.
I doubt it. Maybe you can go on it and tell me what you think. Tell me
maybe. Use me as a guinea pig.
Yeah, exactly.
I will just tell you it's so much better, even though it may not
You'll be like, it's amazing. It's better
it's
than
so
Soarin'.
Good. They've added so many new effects. It's like a roller coaster now.
Frozen Ever After, Soarin', it's nothing compared to this.
I'm going to say that regardless of what it is like. I may not even go on it and I'll still say that.
Yeah. I know you will. That's the horrible thing.
Yeah. But now if I say it's rubbish, are you going to believe me?
Well, I don't know.
You're going to have to just go on it regardless now, aren't you?
I think I'm going to have to.
See, I've managed to do it without even going.
Yeah. To be fair, I was thinking about it anyway. So, just to end this week's podcast, I wanted to chat through a couple of reviews left to us on iTunes that we were going to read out last week, but we didn't have time. So we've had one from Keys100, who said, a great listen for your Disney/Universal addictions. Thanks very much, Keys. And then we've had another one. That one was actually 5 stars, great podcast. Just saying. That's not our thoughts. That was Keith. another one is 5 stars, great insight from Oldland Thomo, I think. That's how you say it. So they've said, currently on episode 20, working my way through, ready for a trip to Orlando in July. It sounds great, apart from the toilet episode where Ryan moved house. I enjoy their... I'll come back to that. I enjoy their witterings and updates and all the news from US and beyond. They not only talk about Disney, but other theme parks in the UK. Keep up the good work. Please keep having guests on, as it adds something a little extra to an already great listen. So thanks, Oldland Thomo, or Tomo. Really appreciate that, and it's a really nice review. I do apologise for the episode where it sounded like I was in a toilet. Now you've triggered. It's triggered.
Yeah,
I wasn't actually in the toilet. I think Tomo, Oldland Thomo, knows this and is simply making a joke. But basically what happened is, I think we moved in, from memory, I think we moved in and there was nothing on any of the walls.
Oh, I see. So it was like nice and echoey.
So it was really echoey. It sounded like I was in the toilet.
Nice. Did you have wooden floors as well when you moved in? Or
no.
Was it carpeted?
I think it was carpeted, but I don't think it was anything on the walls. It was either that episode, or there was an episode where I recorded it at Donna's parents. And at the time, I think all of her stuff was off her walls because we were about to move, and again, same issue. It's one or the other. I can't remember.
Yeah,
I think our fans know us better than remember my life better than I do. Which is slightly worrying, I think.
A bit creepy.
But no, I really appreciate that. That's a really, really nice review. So I think with that, I just want to say before we end the podcast, we really, really appreciate those reviews. We've had only 5-star ratings on iTunes so far, which is just amazing. I can't believe people want to listen to us talking a load of
drivel
and witterings every week. It's really, we're really pleased though, so thank you so much. And if you do want to leave us a review, please just check us out on iTunes, leave it there. We would really, really appreciate it. So as to where you can find us, we're on our website, themeparktrader.com. We're on facebook.com/themeparktrader. We're on Twitter @ThemeParkTrader. I'm on Twitter as well, and I get involved in lots of conversations with a lot of our listeners on a daily basis. So I'm there @RyanOggs. That's RyanOggs. So thank you so much for listening. And again, once again, thank you for those people that have left us reviews. We really appreciate it. And we will see you again next week.
Ah, there you are. And just in time, there's a little matter I forgot to mention. Beware of hitchhiking ghosts. They have selected you to fill our quota, and they'll haunt you until you return.